Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, guys, we're almost there. Just a few days away until Christmas. We have the Christmas tree up, the Christmas ornaments. I'm imagining some of you guys have done some Christmas shopping, hopefully, by this point, because Christmas is coming fast. Though here in the church, it's not quite Christmas yet. It's Advent, that period of time we take to kind of look forward to the season of Christmas, but not technically Christmas quite yet. But it's still exciting. It is, being this close. And I can remember being a kid and being just a few days away from Christmas, and more importantly, Christmas presents, and just vibrating with excitement. I was always looking forward to just ripping open that wrapping paper and getting down to the gift inside. So it never made sense to me why my parents were never as excited as I was. No, sure, they were happy that it was Christmas and all that, but when my mother, for instance, would get the gift in her hand, she wouldn't yell and scream like us kids. She'd, you know, politely open it up and pull the gift out and thank the person who gave it to her, then set it off to the side, which is very different than what we had to do. So it never made sense to me why she wasn't so excited about this great gift, and then she'd get excited about something that I couldn't care less about. Football. See, there's something you need to know about my mother. She is a die-hard, to-the-bone Kansas City Chiefs fan. Loves them to death. And typically, she's a very quiet, calm, reserved, polite woman. But when those Kansas City Chiefs are on, she turns into a completely different person. She's jumping up and down. She's yelling and screaming. I mean, she gets into it. Now, it's not like when she turns on the TV, that just instantly happens. It takes a while, you know, as the game progresses. When you have that first kickoff, you know, if it's good for the Kansas City Chiefs, she'll do a little happy dance. If it's bad for the Kansas City Chiefs, she'll moan and groan, but she'll move on. But as the game progresses, and the scores get higher and higher and higher, she gets more and more into it till she is literally celebrating or angry at the end of every single play. I mean, she is glued to the TV. And then there's the pause. The dreaded 2-minute warning where the whole game is stopped. Both teams take a good hard look at how the game's been going, make some last minute plans, and then really buckle down. All while fans, like my mother, is on the edge of their seats, waiting to see how the rest of the game goes. Well, in a certain manner of speaking, our reading for today, the one from Daniel chapter 12, is a little bit like a 2-minute warning. Daniel says there's going to be a period of trouble. What does that mean? Well, what Daniel here is saying is that history is coming to an end. The clock is ticking down. Things are coming to a close. Now, that's not something we like to think about during Advent, the apocalypse, but we like to think about Christmas, when Jesus comes as a baby in a manger. But Advent is also a time for us to look forward to his second coming, when Jesus arrives as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The problem that we run into is that often we don't treat Jesus' second coming as a 2-minute warning. We're pretty relaxed about the whole thing. We don't have any hustle about it. We don't think there's any need to be urgent. It's live and let live. Kind of feels like that final score is going to take a while to get down here. Now, I want us to take a moment, just mentally take a step back from church, from Advent, from Christmas, from Daniel. And I want you guys to think about your favorite sports team, the Beavers. I want you to think about them and imagine them playing the last 2 minutes of their game like that. You have them half-hearted plays, uninterested player. Everybody just casually jogging up and down. And my mother would yell at 300-pound professionals trying their hardest. So I don't want to hear what's being said about me. The angels looking down from the heavenly bleachers yelling, Vicar Dollar, go, go, go. Time is almost up. But that's what Daniel tells us. Daniel here says that Christ's return is near and that believers need a two-minute drill. They need a plan. And he's got one. You see, our Daniel reading, it says, your people will be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. So yes, while Christ will return to judge the living and the dead, just like we say every Sunday, and yes, even though everyone here will have to appear before the judgment of God, we don't need to panic. This is not the time to freak out. We can rest in grace because by grace, through faith, our names are written in the book. What book, you ask? Excellent question. The book Daniel here is referring to is the Book of Life. It shows up about a dozen times or so in the Bible. And it's in this book that God writes down our names whenever we believe and are baptized and trust in Christ as our Savior. And that's not because God's going to forget it if he doesn't write it down. It's not some cosmic sticky note he sticks to his fridge, you know, let Oscar into heaven. That's not what this is. Sorry, Oscar. That's not what this is. But it's the proof. It's verifiable. It's written down. It's something you can point to. The book of Revelations calls this the Lamb's Book of Life. The Lamb, of course, being Jesus, the same one we're waiting for during this Christmas season. The baby Jesus who came down from heaven and born as a baby in a manger, the same one who grew up, died, and was raised for us. You see, this Lamb, Jesus, writes our names in his book with his blood. And we can rest in that amazing grace. That's why we don't need to freak out. It's kind of like a diving contest. And you climb up the diving board and you jump off and you belly flop. And all you've done is prove that you're a terrible diver and you've hurt yourself. But the judge gives you a 10 anyways. See, our names being written in the book of life is what washes away our sin. It's the blood of Christ that saves us. It's not anything that we do. I mean, we've ended up embarrassing ourselves with the belly flop. So if we're getting the 10, it's because of the grace of God. But the game plan doesn't end there. If it did, we could just sit back and relax. We could be, you know, we wouldn't need the hustle. There is no need to be urgent because the game is in the bag. But the plan continues. Daniel says, many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. You see, when history ends, people are going to be split in one of two groups. Those who are raised to everlasting life, and those to shame and everlasting contempt. Now, that's not saying that there's two teams, and one has to win up over the other. Remember, we're all doing belly flops here. But we're all in the dark without the judge. And those who are still in the dark need the light. And we who have the light need to share that with them. Because we all know people who are in the dark in big ways and small ways. I mean, even during this year, this season, this time of year, with you have the brightness of Christmas, there's times where the darkness seeps in. I mean, December brings holiday stress. You've got debt from Christmas presents, perhaps. You know, maybe even seasonal affective disorder, like we talked a little while ago. You know, this month presents a dizzying array of responsibilities. Shopping and traveling and cleaning and entertaining and preparing for the craziness that is the holidays. Or maybe the holiday itself is the problem. Maybe it's a painful reminder of what once was. Whether that's a breakup or a divorce or even a death. So what does Daniel say to us about how to reach out to the people in the dark? Well, Daniel invites us to, quote, bring many to righteousness. Now again, what does that mean? Well, for one, it doesn't mean wagging your fingers and pointing at them at all the things that someone's done wrong. Remember, if we're all getting 10s for our belly flops, it's not because we're such graceful divers. We're getting the 10 because the judge is so graceful to us. So turning many to righteousness means telling others who are in the midst of their belly flops that even though it's painful, it's embarrassing, it's messy, and not particularly pretty, it's not the end. You see, righteousness is God's declaration, not guilty. It's the perfect 10 for a belly flop. And by faith in Jesus, people get that perfect 10. Now, I'm sorry, sports fans, this is where the analogy ends. Because in a close football game, you don't know who's going to come out on top. You don't know if one team has an ace up their sleeves or if something crazy is going to happen. That's not the case for us. We know how this ends. We know that grace wins out. We don't have to sit there and worry about what the end is going to look like because we have confidence. We know. Because when Christ returns, the judgment of God is going to come with him. And it's going to be powerful and cleansing like a fire. It's not something you want to be competing against. But we don't have to. You see, we end up on the same team as the judge. We do. We're on the team rosters. I mean, our name is written in the book. And it doesn't make a lot of sense why God would invite us onto the same team with him. I mean, we're not particularly good players. We're terrible teammates. We forget how much time's left on the scoreboard. And sometimes we forget that we're playing at all. But Jesus loves us. And he wants us on his team anyway. And because he earns that perfect 10, and because we're on the same team as him, we get that perfect 10 as well. So, peace, Lutheran. The time is short. The end is coming. Everything, and I mean everything, is going to change. But that doesn't mean we need to panic. We've been given God's amazing plan for these last days. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone whose name is found written in the book. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever. Amen.